Bible in the pew in front of you. We'll make it easy on you this week. Just open up and go a couple of pages in. Genesis chapter 5. While you're flipping to Genesis 5, I need to give you a progress report on something. I need to give you a progress report on this thing on my face, this beard that's been growing. I know it's been bugging some of you. I know it. You've told me. I hear you. The beard is a little more than a month old now, okay? Started it right after Christmas. We're kind of wrapping up Christmas and, you know, kind of getting into gear towards 2012. And I've got some quirks about me, okay? You know this by now. We've been friends for a while now. I've got some quirkiness to me. And one of the things that's kind of quirky about me is every now and then I'll grow a beard. And I don't usually just grow a beard just to grow a beard. It's kind of a spiritual discipline for me, okay? Because, you know, it just kind of morphs what I look at when I look in the mirror, you know? And I'm ugly enough as it is, but this doesn't help my cause a whole lot. But, you know, we talked about spiritual disciplines a few weeks ago. And we talked about how connecting in community is really a form of spiritual discipline because sometimes it's just not easy. You know, sometimes Judas is sitting there in your community, and Judas wants to do what? He's going to stab you in the back. So to keep going back and to keep opening yourself up, that's kind of a form of spiritual discipline. We talked about some others. We didn't talk about growing beards, really, as a form of spiritual discipline. I hadn't seen anything written about it being a spiritual discipline, but for me, I kind of use it as a form of spiritual discipline just because every time I look in the mirror, it just kind of causes me to go, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm praying about something. I'm asking God to help me focus on something, to give me wisdom and leadership on something. Now, you know, in a few weeks, I'm gonna shave this mug off, okay? I'm gonna shave this sucker down, and you're gonna be going, Pastor must not be praying anymore. That's not it, okay? It's just a different kind of level of intensity, okay, for me. Quirky, I know, but hey, it's me. Go with me, okay? So I'm out walking my dog, Grizz. I've told you about Grizz. Grizz is growing by the day. He's a huge dog now that does huge things in our backyard. big dog. And I'm out walking. This is end of December, okay, after Christmas, kind of catching my breath a little bit. And I'm out, and we're kind of getting our workout, and he's like pulling my arm out of sight. And so it's just kind of this love-hate relationship, and we're walking, And I'm out, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking, and I'm pondering, and I'm thinking about this year that we just walked through of 2011, and I'm kind of beginning to turn my gaze towards 2012, and as I'm out there walking, this passage comes to my mind, and I start just kind of chewing on Genesis chapter 5 about verses 21 through 24, and if you kind of look back over Genesis 5, there's a listing of people's names there. These names are a list of people known as the patriarchs. And the patriarchs are kind of the first branches of the human family tree from way back at the beginning. And if you were to read through there, you'd see names like Adam and you'd see names like Seth. And then it'd go to his son whose name was Enosh. That's kind of an interesting name. And then to Kenan. And then to one of my personal favorites, Mahalalel. That's kind of fun to say. And then Mahalalel's son is mentioned. And his name's Jared. Not the Jared that was in the Subway commercials and lost a lot of weight. Different Jared. But then you get past Jared and you get to his son, and his son's name was Enoch. Enoch. And now I'm out walking Grizz, and I'll confess to you, I'm not really thinking about those other patriarchs. I'm just kind of thinking about old Enoch. And I want you to look at these three verses. And it says about Enoch's life. In verse 21, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah for 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. I mean, he's just kind of walking along, and all of a sudden, he doesn't die. God just goes, I need you with me. That's kind of a neat thought, isn't it? And so I'm thinking about Enoch, and some things jumped out at me. One thing that jumped out at me was, did you happen to know when he became a dad? Did you see that in there? 65 years? That just made me tired just thinking about that. not quite at 65, but man, I can't imagine just starting that thing out called fatherhood at 65. That's not really what I was primarily thinking about, though, when I was out walking Grizz. What I was primarily thinking about when I was walking my dog was how Enoch was described. How he was described. Two different places in this short passage, Enoch is described with this phrase, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Anytime in the Bible you see a phrase repeated, that should be a red light that begins to blink. Because anytime a phrase in the Bible is repeated, that's one of God's ways of saying, this is really important. Take note of this. Sit up, take a deep breath, and read through that again. Enoch walked with God. That Hebrew phrase depicts a face-to-face kind of a relationship, a close, radical intimacy between a person and his or her creator. He walked with God. He walked with God. It says in verse 21 and 22, look at it again with me if you would. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. I don't know about you, but I know what my kids did to me. When they came on the scene, I kind of was like, okay, where are you? You know, before then, I just kind of, you know, before you have kids or you know, maybe you're kind of thinking back that maybe you don't have kids right now and you're just kind of, you can just kind of walk through life differently because it's just kind of you and God or maybe that other person, but, you know, that other person kind of responsible for his or herself and you're just kind of doing your thing and what, when you have kids, I don't know about for you, but for me, it was like, God, I need some serious walking with you right now because I have no clue what I'm doing here. Anybody relate to that? You're just kind of like, God, help. And here it says, but after he became a dad, that's when the walk really kicked in to a different pace. But for the author of Genesis, walking with God is the way to life. It's the way God designed you and desires for you to do life is in step with him, in a walk with him. And did you see how long it said that Enoch walked with God? Look at verse 22. It says, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. Say it with me. 300 years. You don't do anything for 300 years without some serious consistency. I mean, he walked with God. He was in step with God. A whole lot of steps. Just getting up day after day, finding his rhythm in all of his life with God. Is that you? Or do you need to kind of do one of those a little bit? You know, you've kind of been out of step, and I always like when people are marching and they kind of get out of step, they try to get back, and then they kind of do the little skip thing and keep going. Maybe this morning some of you just kind of need to do the little skip thing and then kind of get back in step. It's one of the things that the Lord's Supper helps us to do, doesn't it? It just kind of helps us to stop and then to kind of start again. Maybe you can just begin your step in walking with God this morning. It says Enoch walked with God a long, long time, 300 years, a lot of faithful steps of obedience over and over and over and over. A long obedience in the same direction as Eugene Peterson wrote about. Just walking in step with God. Walking with God does not really mean crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's of legalism. Doesn't really talk about keeping all the religious rules. What it's really talking about when it says he walked with God is that it's more about a heart to have than rules to keep. That's really what it's talking about here. Are rules important? Yes. Are they God? No. God is God, and God wants your heart, and God wants your heart to be in rhythm, to be in beat, to be in step with who he is, with what he's doing, with where he's going. Walking with God is about doing life the way God always longed and has designed for you to do life and to live life. And when you are in step and in rhythm with God, that's when you will begin to find your ultimate fulfillment that he has created you to enjoy for your goodness and for his great pleasure. Walking with God. Now, I can't think of a better testimony of somebody's life, of my life, of your life, than to be described at the end of our life when they're all standing around going, well, he walked with God. Wouldn't that be an incredible thing? Would that not be just the greatest when they're trying to sum your life up in a phrase that can go on that tombstone? Not, I hope, one time he grew a big scraggly beard. Not that he was a pretty decent dad, a pretty good guy. He was a hard worker. Although those are good things, I would just prefer that the summation of my life be this phrase: he walked with God. And that can't happen overnight. That happens with a lot of consistent steps, a long obedience in the same direction, following God and have a heart that beats after the things that God's heart beats after. So I'm growing this beard and I'm out walking my dog the last month, and the phrase that I keep thinking about is he walked with God. And part of my prayer during this beard growing spiritual discipline time of focused prayer has just been, God, I really do desire to walk with you. And God, I desire to the best of my ability to lead our church to try and walk with you. And there's been two main areas where the Lord's been kind of drawing it back to me and focusing in on me during this time. And the first thing that God's been bringing to my mind is just connect. And we've talked about that for the last month. And if you've missed any of those sermons, they're on our website at arapahoeroad.com. You can click on video sermons and get caught up. But in a nutshell, if you've missed out, basically we've been using Legos. And some of you have been doing what I've been doing. You've been carrying them around in your pocket. Now, I dropped one at the, I was going to get the brake lights fixed on the van the other day. And one fell out. And he goes, hey, what's up with that? I'm like, I got to hang on to these because that's great spiritual conversation starters. And so we talked about, hey, this one represents me and my life. And this one here represents God and how God created us to connect with him. And this one over here represents how God created us to connect with other people who are trying to follow him. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So if you've missed out the last month, there it is. You go, man, why couldn't you have just done that and we could have all gone home? Because I want you to get your money's worth. So God wants me and you to live a connected life. And so that's the first thing that God's been kind of talking about. That's this side of the face. What about this side of the face, this side of the beard? Well, the second thing is summed up in one word: missions. Missions. God has really been causing me to think about and to pray about missions. And when I talk about missions, and I've shared this with you before, I'm not primarily talking about funding somebody else to go do missions, although that's a part of missions. That's a part of it. It's a vital part. But when I'm talking about missions, I'm really talking about a life that's meant to be lived. It's part of our DNA. We are a missional people, a people on mission with God, doing the thing God wants us to do, being in the places God wants us to be, living the life God has created us and designed us and given us responsibility to live with, being on mission, walking with God on mission. God wants us to walk into our community and to be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece, to be his ambassador as though Christ were making his appeal through us, to be his people of blessing. We talked about blessing and how to bless people and serve people. If you were here at all throughout Christmas, that was the whole Christmas series. God bless us, everyone. And we talked about how in Genesis chapter 12, God makes a covenant with Abram and he says, I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing. Not so that you'll be over here and just hang on to your blessing and just thank God for it, although that's appropriate to thank God for your blessing, but that so you'll share it. That's called being on mission. That's called sharing good news of blessing. And many of you have begun to do that, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Many of you have walked into the community and been sharing with other people. You've been going to our website at arapahoeroad.com, and you've clicked that big button on the page that says serve the city, and you found a place in our city to begin to serve other people at their point of need. I'm so proud of you. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. There was about 13 of you a couple of Thursdays ago that went over to Hickman Elementary School, and you served at a family fun night carnival, and you went and did these really holy things like serve lemonade and popcorn. Kingdom building stuff. You go, how's that kingdom building stuff? Because you freed up teachers and administration and parents to be able to interact with one another, and they knew you guys from that church around the corner that keeps figuring out how to bless us, they take care of it. And God works through popcorn and lemonade. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes, but those of you who went and served, way to go, keep it up. Way to go, keep it. I was studying the other day in the book of Leviticus. Don't do that. Okay, just don't do that. If you're going to study, study somewhere. I mean, that's good stuff, but it'll kind of, you know, don't do what with that goat and that what now and that kid. You can't, boom. Don't go there. Just start in John. Okay, that's a great place to start. If you're looking for a place to read, John's a good place. But I'm reading Leviticus. I learned something in Leviticus the other day. I learned that in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, that's kind of known as a holiness code, holiness laws. And holiness in a person's life is characterized in Hebrew thought by wholeness, by a person being whole inside and out. And do you know that when we serve people at those fractured places in their life, those points of need, those broken areas in there, when we go and we look out for those people, we serve them at that place of fracture, you know what we do? We help them to become more whole. And my seeking somebody out to help make them whole begins to make me, in a Hebrew mindset, more whole, holy. Some of you are sitting there going, okay, what now? Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying doing good works makes you holy in God's eyes. The blood of Christ makes you holy in God's eyes. Okay? I'm saying when we're walking with God and we're in step with God and our heart begins to beat with God's heartbeat and we begin to go the places that God is walking, we will see people who have need and who have fractured places in their life, and he's saying, reach out to that person whom I deeply love and meet them at their point of need, and you will help to make them whole. And as you begin to help make them whole, you too will begin to be whole, and your holiness will be on the scene and will be a blessing not only to them, but it'll please me. Wholeness, holiness. I will become whole as I begin to walk with God, and as my heart begins to long and beat for the thing that God's heart longs and beats for, and God's heart beats for the broken, and he's calling us to go for a walk towards the broken. For me, I'm still trying to learn the needs of our community and learn about those places where we might be able to serve Jesus faithfully in our community, and I try to lead by example. I try not to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. And so some of you may be sitting there going, well, what are you doing? Okay, I don't want to toot my own horn. I just want to try to kind of pull the veil back and just go, here are some places I'm trying to serve. I'm trying to lead. And maybe there'll be an encouragement to you. So where am I walking with God on mission in our community? I mentioned to you a minute ago, Hickman Elementary School. It's a Title I school, a couple of blocks from our church. We're neighbors. We've been developing a friendship and a relationship with that school. Chris Gray is a believer. He's a follower of Christ. And he's been just talking with me about some different ways. And one of the ways that he's been saying that people can help, and men in particular, women, you can check out for a minute, okay? Men, okay? You know what this is right here? This is a Hickman Hero t-shirt. If you want to get a Hickman Hero t-shirt, you know what you got to do? You got to get a background check. Because they don't just let anybody walk in the door over there. You got to not have a record. You got to be a safe person around kids. So what does a Hickman Hero do? Well, I went to find out. Because basically, what Chris Gray and his leadership team up there has said is, we need some men in our community, dads, uncles, big brothers, granddads, to come and just to be a presence with our kids. Maybe to sit down with them and help them read a little bit. Ooh, I don't have a background in reading education. I don't either, but you know what? I did that a couple weeks ago. And it really got crazy. I went out to recess and threw the football. Kicked soccer ball, had lunch, not too bad. Got a little tricky when I started helping a young man with subtraction. I was just a presence up there. I got this really cool t-shirt. Some of you men are sitting there going, I could do that. Especially some of you guys who are retired and you're kind of going, man, what could I do? Come talk to me. Come talk to me. God may want to use you to bless somebody else. Can I tell you what happened when I walked in? Because I told Chris Gray, the principal, I said, I can't come all day. I can't come from like 7:30 to 2, but I could be there from like 9 to 1. He said, awesome. And so we set the date. I walked in about 5 till 9. I ran my little fingerprint thing, and they said, yep, you're supposed to be here. They printed out a little thing and put it there. Martha, the guidance counselor, came out. We'd talked before, and she gave me my cool Hickman Hero t-shirt, and then you know what she did? She gave me a schedule. They were ready for me. 9 o'clock, I was supposed to be in Ms. Schmidt's room, room 141. 9:30, Ms. Frazier's, room 140. And it goes on and on. 30-minute increments all the way down. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So this is what being a hero is all about, huh? Okay. And she said, so I'm going to take you to Ms. Schmidt's room in just a second. Before I do, can I give you something? I said, what am I going to say? No. I mean, I'm a hero, right? That's a joke. She said, I need to give you something. She handed me this piece of paper right here. Had a name on it. Had a phone number on it. She said, I need you to call this person. I said, okay, what's the story? She said, well, I was talking to this parent the other day, and she's really kind of going through some difficult things in her marriage, and we just began to talk and come to find out that she's open to just finding a place that can walk with her. And we talked a little bit, and I found out a little bit more. And she said, you know, I'm really kind of come from a Catholic perspective, and she doesn't. But I told her, I said, I know this church around the corner who's just been awesome. They've been blessing us. They'll come up and serve popcorn and lemonade just to help, just to be a good neighbor, just to serve us. Their pastor's coming up here to be a Hickman hero. Can I give him your name and number? She said, would you please do that? So our outreach, community outreach coordinator is the guidance counselor at Hickman Elementary School. Public school, separation of church and state. No. And she's given me prospect names to call. Too bad God's not at work, right? And so I go to Ms. Schmidt's class. And I walk into Ms. Schmidt's class, and there are third graders sitting in Ms. Schmidt's class. And Ms. Schmidt has me go sit down at the table with Jonathan. Jonathan is a young man who needs a little bit of help reading. And so, like I say, I don't have a master's in helping third graders read. I'm just trying to be a hero for the day. So I sit down, and Jonathan and I start working on this little game. And it took me about that long to figure it out because, you know, I do have an education. And so I figured it out, and we got there, and we're doing this little thing. And all of a sudden, Jonathan and I are slapping high fives every time he gets it right. And I just see his self-esteem just going up. And I said, Jonathan, talk to me. Where are you from originally? I'm from Ethiopia. Oh, really? Cool. Did you know that I used to sponsor a child and have a friend in Ethiopia through an organization called Compassion International? And yeah, God let me get to know this young man. And he's graduated from school. And man, I love people from Ethiopia. Really? Yeah, dude. Awesome. My 30 minutes are up. I'm out the door. I'm on to Ms. Frazier's class. I finish up my deal that day. I come back here because I got to come do church stuff. You people. So I come back, and we're having a thing called a Connection Cafe that night. It was a great night. We had two people join the church just by coming and drinking coffee with us and talking about how they can get connected. Do you know who the first people that I met were, where they were from? They were from Ethiopia. I hadn't changed out of my Hickman Hero t-shirt. They went, Hickman Hero. So that's right. And so they said, they were here, and George was escorting them around, talking to them, and they had two little girls, and they were in there with Lisa, and they were coloring or whatever, and so I talked, and it was a little bit early, and I wound up walking through there early. I walked in, and the two little girls were over there, and they're going, hey, I had lunch next to you today. Too bad God's not always at work. He's just saying, would you come walk with me? Would you just come walk with me? I just want you to walk with me. I'll take care of the rest of it if you'll just come walk with me. And if you'll connect and if you'll be on mission, I'll do great and wonderful things. Can I just tell you a couple other things? This is, you know, just so you can just kind of know. I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is. I got asked to be on a committee. I hate being on committees. They're very important. They're very important. The Dallas Baptist Association called, wanted me to know if I'd be on a committee. And my mentor always taught me, hey, give back, okay? Give back because somebody gave to you, okay? All right, I'll be on a committee. What committee do you want me to be on? I want you to be on the Community Ministries Committee because we're trying to help mobilize the churches of the Dallas Baptist area on how better to serve in their city. Okay. I was in Honduras a couple weeks ago. God not only wants us to walk with him in our local community, he wants us to walk with him around the world. And I went down there with Dr. David Bragg, and I went down there with Kendrick Baker, and we went to Honduras. And let me just show you some pictures that were there. We went down to connect with the International Mission Board missionaries and with a group called Predison. You can see Predison right there, the facilities. Predison is a medical facility and a medical 501c3. That brings medical aid, and they are working in conjunction with Baylor Healthcare to bring medical aid up into the mountain regions of Honduras. It's in the Olancho district, which is way up north. And the city that's closest, it's the biggest city there, is Catacamos. The government is working with Predison because the government doesn't want to go all the way up there. It's too far for them. And Predison has said, we'll go and we'll also share Christ if that's okay with you. And the government's gone, cool, just do it so we don't have to. And so we're looking, is there a potential way to partner and collaborate with the International Mission Board and their missionaries and Predison and their medical missionaries? Is there something for us to do? And so we went to this incredible facility. You see Kendrick and me, and there's one of our drivers there. I mean, it's a first-class organization. You can go to the next slide, and you'll see right here every morning from 7:30 to 8, their entire staff, who are all committed followers of Jesus, meet together every morning for prayer and for the Word. And to come together before they start their day ministering to those who are going to come in off the streets into their medical facility. And you can see that man with a tie standing up there. His name's Julio. He's doing an outstanding job organizing and preparing his staff to meet the needs of people in the name of Christ all day long. If you go to the next slide, you'll see there's our group, and there's Julio, and you can see Kendrick and me and Dr. Bragg and the guy with the goatee. I had a goatee once. One of these days I'll have another one, hopefully. But that's Charlie Sell. He is an IMB missionary and a catalyst missionary for all of Honduras, and he was there helping us to connect. And if you go to the next slide, you can just see, I mean, this is top-of-the-line equipment. This is where they do their dental exams. You can go to the next slide. This is their grounds. That's their chapel back there. I mean, everything about Predison is excellence. You know why? Because they want to communicate excellence with the gospel. That's their deal. And I'm like going, I like that. I like that we give our best in whatever domain of society we're working with, and it's a reflection of how great our God is that we serve. I love that. And you can go to the next slide here. And I mean, this is where they do laparoscopic surgery. It's high-tech stuff. Everybody in the Olancho district knows Predison man, they do things right, and they're also believers in Jesus. You can go to the next slide. And you can just see, this is one of the children that was outside the clinic. I think his sister's on the next slide. Just sweet little people that are made in the image of God that need to know him. If you go to the next slide, I think you'll see a gentleman. Yeah, we were going up into the mountains, and we saw several people like this with a wheelbarrow, and he's got big mud bricks, and that's what he's doing back there. He's building a house, and so that's part of their primary workforce efforts. That's what they do. You can go to the next slide. Oh, this is amazing. This was a clinic called Serapa. It's an arm and a branch of Prednisone. This is where drug abusers and alcohol abusers go to get sober. And last year, they had 10 people come to Christ and baptized out of that building right there. Go to the next slide. I want to show you something. This is really cool. I'd love one of those if it got better gas mileage. But you've got to go up into the mountains in one of these guys here. It's a four-wheel drive. And you see that black thing off the side there? You know what that is? That's a snorkel. You know why you need a snorkel? Because in the rainy season, guess what comes? Rain. And you know what it does in those rivers? And you know what that thing does? It'll go right through them. And the snorkel means you don't stall out in the middle of the river. That would be pretty cool. Let's go to the next one. This right here, this is Javier and Carmen Hernandez. Javier, you're going, man, Javier's doing all right. Look at that pool. That's a really nice hotel that we were staying at. It's about 2 years old, and Javier came over, and we talked about strategy. Javier is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Catacombs. His church has started 13 churches in the last year and a half, 2 years, and he's looking for another one. And guess what we might look at doing? Is there a way that we might be able to partner with First Baptist Catacombs and serve out of a medical facility that Prednisone has? I don't know. But we're looking at it. We're exploring it. Do you know how he was when he came to Christ? He was a drunk alcoholic big time. And he came to Christ. And do you know what happened the day we got there? Just by coincidence, Prednisone and First Baptist Church Catacombs kicked off a Celebrate Recovery night. The place was full of people. And God may want us to do something with him. I don't know. We're still exploring. Dr. Bragg's going back in a couple of weeks to continue just processing. Is there something that God may want us to do? You can go to the next slide. I'll show you a couple of pictures. This is base camp up in the mountains at Prednisone. You can go to the next one. Just to give a feel, that's a bunkhouse where people go and stay. And let's see if there's another couple of slides. I think we're almost done. Oh, yeah, these are just some of the children that just emerged from out of the bush when the big truck with a big snorkel on the side of it kind of goes down that track. Boy, they just start coming out. You can go to the next one. I mean, he's about five. His brother's had a machete over there, about four. Jack, would you like a machete for Christmas? Yeah, you can't have one. I mean, but that's just what they do. You can go to the next slide here. And here's a mom and one of the kids, and they're just working. This is like where they live. You can go to the next slide. And there's that big machete. They all have, I mean, he's just ready for work. Machete, big boots, off for the day. We saw them all over the place. You can go to another one. You can just see their house. Huge rainy season. Check that roof out. Hope it doesn't rain sideways because somebody's getting wet. Look at the next slide here. This is where they cook their bread. You see a little pig back there on the back just kind of walking around. You go to the next slide. I'll show you inside their house. Well, there's the kitchen. That's where they cook their food. If you stand by that table and turn back the other way, this is what you'll see. Go to the next slide. See that silver thing there? That's where they make their hamburger. That's their meat grinder. And you can go to the next slide, and they've got two rooms just like this. Those are three of the eight kids that lived in the house. They had three beds just like the one they're sitting on, and everybody slept on it. And go to the next slide, and you'll see the health clinic that's close to their area. What's God want us to do down there? I don't know. We're just exploring. We're just walking, going, God, is there something you want us to do down here? Is there something you want us to do with churches that are being planted in our own country? Maybe Kendrick Baker's brother is planting a church, has planted a church up in Illinois. The Emerys, Sid and Stacy and his family are preparing to plant in South Carolina. Does God want us to do something and walk with them in some specific ways? Maybe. Well, I think we need to be open about it. I've been walking and praying with a group of people here at church since August who I know have a heart for missions, just kind of a cross-section of people. Just going, God, what do you want us to do? Help us to know what you want us to do. Where are you walking? You go, what kind of people? Who? People like A.C. Blair and Rhonda Bounds and Warren Matlock and Steve and Brooklyn Runnels and Patrick Pryor and Sandy Wisnett. And I've had some conversations and David Bragg and Kendrick Baker and George Butler. And these people have just been a huge help to me. As we've just been talking and praying and thinking together. And God, where do you want us to share Christ and as we walk with you? And I could see God moving us into some different places and in some different ways. I certainly see God continuing us walking in the Dominican Republic where we've been walking for the last decade. I certainly see that. We've got great relationships down there. I think there may be some strategies that can be put in place that we can measure and look at over the coming years. My heart continues to beat for Africa. I've shared that with you before. International Mission Board missionaries are coming back who are from our community, who live in this neighborhood. They're coming back on furlough in a couple of months. Just exploring. At our next business meeting, we're going to vote to amend the bylaws so that our bylaws say that we have a standing committee of a missions committee. Why? Because it's a long walk forward that needs good church leadership for the long haul. I see us in the days ahead expanding our staff. Why? Because you keep bringing your friends. Dadgummit. But there, right now, we all have to wear multiple hats. And I see a staff member coming in the days ahead that could focus on missions and externally focused things and also wear a hat of an executive-type pastor. And we've been talking and praying about that with our personnel committee, and we've shared about that at our budget meetings in November. All things coming down the way. That God's just going, would you walk with me? And I'm going, I'd love to walk with you. Would you show us where you're walking? And God always says, yes. Yes. And my question for you as we wrap up is, will you walk with me? Maybe some of you need to grow a beard for the next few weeks just to get into it. Ladies, right here. Come on. Who's with me? As long as your name's not Allison, you can do that. Allison's having a girls' weekend this weekend. Turnabout's fair play. I was gone to Honduras last week. She said, you're keeping the kids this week. Would you walk? Would you walk? Let's pray together. Lord, you've just been talking about walking with me, and I just wanted to talk about walking with the church today. Lord, there's some people here who've been kicking the tires, and today you're moving them to go, let's jump in here. And Lord, if there's people today that need to make this their church family in a more official way, like a couple did in the first hour, I pray, God, that in just a moment as John leads us to respond, that they'd just take a walk down the aisle and come meet me. Maybe there's some who you're nudging to take a step of obedience in their walk with you, and they've never been baptized by immersion, and you're just going, take a walk into the waters. And Lord, if that's somebody in this room, I pray they'd take a walk down the aisle and let me help them with those next steps. And maybe there's somebody here who's never put their faith and hope and trust in you. And as we've been talking about walking with God, they're just going, I'd like to walk with that God. And if that's you, the Bible says if you'll call out to him and just admit that he's God and you're not, that your sin separates you from him. And that if you believe that what Jesus did on the cross to cover over all of our sin that we ate and drank in symbolically earlier, if you'll believe in that and if you will call out to him, the Bible says all who call on him will be saved. All. No exceptions. And if you need to do that, I'm going to be down here at the front. We're not going to sing long, but we're going to sing for a moment and respond to God. And if you need to walk, come walk with me. If you need to make a decision, come see me. Lord, thanks for what you're doing and how you're walking. May we walk with you today in Christ's name. Amen.